everyone. This is Cartoons to Castles,
the history behind the mouse and magic. I'm Melanie.
And I'm Jessica. We're best friends and Disney nerds who wanted to learn more about the history behind the Walt Disney Company's movies, shows, music, theme parks, and more, and share it all with you.
So thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's episode.
Welcome back, everyone, for our next episode of Cartoons to Castles.
Episode 2.
We are so excited to be diving back into this. And thank you guys all so much for all of the support you gave us on our first episode. The response was really great. And we had so much fun finally sharing our podcast with you guys.
Yeah, it's been so much fun to see feedback from people on our social media and see nice reviews. We want to read some of them at a later time, but the support has been really great. And we are very excited because today we have our very first guest.
Yes, our guest today is the blogger behind CastleCravings.com. She's a digital content creator that has a passion for sharing stories of her real life experiences as they relate to pop culture, entertainment, and fandoms.
She's a lifelong Disney enthusiast. For years, she has collaborated with the Walt Disney Company on various platforms and has been featured on social channels for Disney Family, Disney Style, Oh My Disney, Disney Plus, Disney Parks Blog, and has appeared as a guest on the Disney Plus series Disney Family Sundays.
Please welcome Erica Kurzawa.
Hey.
Yay.
Hi. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh my
Thank
gosh.
Thank you for being here.
We are so excited to be talking Disney with you. And obviously, I've known you for a while, but hearing Melanie read off your bio, wow, quite the Disney resume.
I know.
I mean, you guys too. I feel like we're all just like super Disney nerds who have like, how can we make this a career?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's why we have a podcast now.
Exactly.
Well, Erica, I would love for you to tell us a little bit more about your love of Disney and how your love of Disney began.
Well, oh, wow. I mean, I could be here talking for hours about my love of Disney, but I'll try to shorten it as small as possible. I mean, like most kids, I grew up on the Disney films. I grew up watching all of the princess movies, all of the classics, the Renaissance era. I'm a kid of the 90s. And Disney has just always spoken to me on this level of just imagination and believing in myself and dreaming big dreams and really believing anything is possible. I know that sounds really cheesy and really hokey, but it's absolute fact. Like, that's just what Disney is for me. It keeps me believing in magic well into my adult years. And I love going to the parks. I love collaborating with Disney when I get the chance to be lucky enough to do so. And I'm just a really, really big nerd, to be honest.
Yeah, well, we are too, obviously.
We all are.
Yeah. We all do.
Well, I am super excited about the topic that you chose. Do you want to go ahead and tell our audience what Disney history topic you picked for us to discuss today?
So I chose Disney Toon Studios. And the reason I chose Disney Toon Studios, there's a couple reasons. The first reason is that A Goofy Movie was made by Disney Toon Studios. It's one of my favorite Disney movies of all time ever. It's a masterpiece. And I only recently, like in the past few years, learned that. And I never really kind of dug into Disney Toon Studios and like its history and how it started and ended and all of that. So I really wanted the opportunity to kind of go back and learn that for myself. But also, I realized that I'm not the only one who doesn't know about Disney Toon Studios. When Jess and I, with some friends, were doing Disney trivia and it kept coming up, people, I don't remember what the question was, but they asked something about name a movie from Disney animation, and people kept saying like, well, what about this movie? What about this movie? And we were all like, no, that's Disney Toon Studios. No, that's Disney Toon Studios. And so I just think it's something that a lot of people don't realize, that Disney Animation and Disney TVA and Disney Toon Studios are separate entities. So I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah. And obviously we all did a little bit more of a deep dive into this specifically for this episode, and they have quite a rocky and interesting journey.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I really didn't know anything about Disney Toon Studios. I'm a little bit older than you two, and I kind of missed a lot of those movies, like that they weren't part of my childhood so much, because they kind of started coming out when I was getting into high school and college, and so I missed a lot of them. So I really need to go back and watch some of those movies, because I feel like I've missed a lot, and you know, there's a sequel to The Little Mermaid that I haven't seen.
I mean, it's on Disney
Plus.
What
is wrong with me?
I mean, some of them are really great. Like they made some really great films that maybe don't get as much love because they were sequels and people kind of skipped over them. But yeah. There's some like really heavy hitters. There's some not so great ones too, but I know we'll get into that in a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I was definitely seeing the movies that came out in the theater, but I missed a lot of the ones that came out on VHS. So it was fun to learn about it. So should I just dive in and
Why don't you tell us?
Let's do it.
So what is Disney Toon Studios? I had to ask myself this question as well. So Disney Toon was known under different names over the years, which I'll get into later, and was responsible for creating the direct-to-video sequels that were a staple of many millennial childhoods, such as The Return of Jafar, The Lion King 2, The Little Mermaid 2, Tinkerbell, and more. The studio also created animated theatrical releases, including A Goofy Movie, Pooh's Heffalump Movie, Planes, and The Pirate Fairy. Now, going all the way back to when Walt Disney was in charge at the studios, the company didn't believe in making sequels to its animated features. Though Walt toyed around with the idea of making a follow-up to Snow White called Snow White Returns, it was most likely going to be an animated short in order to try to match the animation quality from the first movie, and it never ended up getting off the ground. And so this attitude toward shying away from sequels lasted at the studio until 1984, when Michael Eisner became CEO of the Walt Disney Company. He wanted to bring Disney cartoons to TV and founded Walt Disney Television Animation, which created cartoon shows like Gummy Bears, DuckTales, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, and Goof Troop. So new animation studios eventually opened up in Australia, Canada, France, and Japan to increase production. Walt Disney Animation Studios finally decided to make a sequel, The Rescuers Down Under, which was released in 1990 and was a follow-up to 1977's The Rescuers. Okay, and can I just say for a minute how much I love the little outfits that Bernard and Bianca, the little mice and the rescuers,
yes,
wear? I love their outfits so much. I mean, I know Bianca just basically wears a necktie and a hat, but they're so fabulous.
Well, and they bring the fashion back in Rescuers Down Under. Like the opening scene where they're on a date, like they came back with the iconic fashion.
Oh my
they're
gosh.
They're the
they
most
sure
stylish
did.
Little mice.
Yeah. No offense, Mickey and Minnie.
Yeah, they're adorable. Anyway, fashion aside, The Rescuers Down Under ended up being considered a flop, unfortunately, only earning around $47 million worldwide. Yeah, $47 would have been a really bad flop. So going back to Walt Disney Television Animation, DuckTales had become a big hit on the small screen, and the studio decided to make a movie based on the series. The main television animation department in Glendale, California, would handle pre-production, which included writing, storyboarding, and layout, while the French studio was tasked with animating the movie. So DuckTales the movie, Treasure of the Lost Lamp, was released in theaters in 1990 as a Disney Movie Toons production. It was the first time Disney distributed an animated film that was not produced by Walt Disney Feature Animation. Though the movie received generally positive reviews, it was not a financial success and ended up losing $2 million for the studio. Now, this kind of opened up their minds to, okay, we can make sequels, but also they're not making money in the theaters. What can we do? Now, also in the early 90s, Walt Disney Television Animation wanted to make an Aladdin animated series based on the 1992 movie, which, as we know, was a big hit. They wanted the three-part pilot to be released as a TV special, but Disney executives thought that they should instead turn the pilot into a feature-length, direct-to-video movie, which would presumably be better for company profits. Which we can kind of understand, seeing as how DuckTales movie didn't do well in the theater. So the Australian animation studio was tasked with making the Aladdin sequel, which was called The Return of Jafar. The movie was released on VHS in stores in 1994, and with that, around a $3 million budget, the movie eventually sold 15 million copies and grossed approximately $300 million. According to an LA Times article, The Return of Jafar helped to take the low-quality stigma off direct-to-video films. So admittedly, the animation quality and storylines of the direct-to-video releases weren't up to the standards of Disney's feature films, even though they were fun and kids really loved them, they weren't quite up to the standards of the theatrical releases. But these movies were a great way to make the studio tons of money and entertain kids. With Walt Disney Television Animation still in charge of pre-production, the French animation studio began animating more movies for theatrical release based on Disney's television shows, such as A Goofy Movie, which was based on Goof Troop. These films were billed as Disney Movie Toons. The Australian studio was in charge of animating the direct-to-video sequels to Disney's feature films, such as Aladdin and the King of Thieves and Beauty and the Beast, The Enchanted Christmas. These movies began to be released as Disney Video Premiere Productions. Now, Erica will get into more about the movies that were made by these studios, but I'll just mention briefly how these different divisions were consolidated and became known as Disney Toon Studios. In 2003, the Walt Disney Company combined Disney Video Premiere and Disney Movie Toons into Disney Toon Studios, which was to be the studio tasked with making direct-to-video movies and sequels for theatrical release. Sharon Morrill was in charge as executive vice president, and the international animation studios in France and Canada were shuttered. Walt Disney Animation Studios in California began to be converted to a computer animation facility, while the Australian studio became the animation hub for 2D animation and Disney Toon Studios, with some animation also being handled by Disney Animation Japan for a while. Disney Toon Studios, under its many names, produced 47 feature films from 1990 to 2015. Now, okay, I hope that I did not get anything wrong. We were pulling our research from many different sources, and I actually found conflicting information from different sources, but I think, parsing it all out, that I got all of that right. Jessica, what do you think?
that sounds Erica? Correct to me. That does sound correct to me. Like you said, Melanie, it's kind of a confusing history. And that seems to be why they made all of these studios go under Disney Toon Studios and move most of the production to Glendale, because it was confusing and roles weren't clear and things were happening all over the place. And its history reflects that.
Right. Yeah, it's spread out all over the world. And
I just want to say that, in my opinion, I think that DuckTales, Treasure of the Lost Lamp, was absolutely robbed. I understand that they opened the same weekend of Jetsons, the movie, and that's probably kind of where the box office problems came from and why they ended up losing $2 million. But you guys, DuckTales is amazing.
It deserves more.
It deserves better.
And so did Goofy Movie. I mean, it has that status now. Obviously, they both kind of do.
And so many times, you know, there are movies that don't do well in the theater, and then they just explode in terms of creating a long-term following and tons of people watching it at home and buying the video copies. So I think maybe that was also a case of it. It just, maybe the timing was wrong, but so many kids loved that movie.
Yeah. It's a really interesting thing too, because so many of these movies, they transcend generations and they get passed down. And like Jess just mentioned, like with A Goofy Movie, I mean, I've loved it since day one. I remember going to see it in theaters. I remember always loving it. And everyone that I knew personally as a child also loved it. But we were children. Children have influence to their parents, but we don't have money. We don't have any actual buying power. And A Goofy Movie did okay. It wasn't exactly a flop.
Right.
But the success it has now and the cult following it has now, I think, is just kind of a testament to the longevity of the film and how timeless it is. And it's timeless in a way that's stuck in the 90s, if that makes sense. I know that's like kind of a conflicting idea, but if you were around in the 90s,
Clueless.
If you care about... Yeah, exactly mm-hmm. that. And I feel like Goofy Movie, with the music and the fashion and just kind of talking about teenagers being teenagers and relationships with parents, I feel like any generation can relate to that. And so I feel like now that those of us who fell in love with it in the 90s are adults, and now we have our own kids, we can kind of pass that along. And that's when we're able to like really hype it up and be like, y'all slept on this movie, so we're going to give it the love that it deserves.
Yeah. And something can be kind of dated in, you know, like you said, the fashion or things like that, or the technology they use in the movie, but the message can be timeless or the themes can be timeless. So I think that's what these movies have.
And I do feel like, with like how I brought up Clueless, I feel like Clueless and Goofy Movie, those would be the two movies I would say are like, if you want to watch a movie and see what the 90s felt like, but you weren't there, those would be the two movies to watch to kind of get that feel.
Yes, they literally define our generation. Like everything you need to know about me, you can get from A Goofy Movie and Clueless.
Right. And for me, you just throw in My So-Called Life and then you're covered.
Well, thanks for taking us into that journey of kind of how all of these studios kind of combined to eventually become Disney Toon Studios.
Yeah, that's really wild. So I'm going to talk about some of the films that were made under the Disney Toon Studios umbrella and kind of like what was a hit and what was a miss. So in doing my kind of dive into it, I kind of started to think of Disney Toon Studios as sort of the like bratty sibling to the Disney Renaissance. Hear me out. So you take all of the iconic Disney animated films that we love and know from the Disney Renaissance, and then they started reaching further back too. And then Disney Toon Studios was like, ooh, me too. I want to do one too. And so then we got all of these lovely straight to home video sequels that we ended up with. So we're talking the Aladdin sequels that you mentioned earlier, which Return of Jafar was a massive success. So there's that.
Yes.
Beauty and the Beast had sequels, Hunchback of Notre Dame, Tarzan, Mulan, and then they started reaching back to the classics. And so then they brought us so many more sequels that we didn't really ask for, like 101 Dalmatians, Patch's London Adventure. And then we had like, Jungle Book 2, Bambi 2, Cinderella 2. I don't know, you guys. I mean, I understand that they were making money. It's just like, let's just sell movies to kids and kids are going to watch cartoons no matter what. But some of these movies, they just didn't need to be made. Some of them were great, but some of them were just cringe.
Very miss. I was actually just watching both the Beauty and the Beast sequels or prequels today with Amelia this morning, and Belle's Magical Adventure.
Magical World.
Thank you. I was like, I'm not saying that right. Belle's Magical World. There's a lot of dated sexist things that were in it. And I was like, ooh.
Oh. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of these sequels, I feel like I watched once and then they just kind of put them on the back burner. Some of them became favorites, then they got put on repeat. And then some of them were just like, yeah, I don't need that in my life. So it was just sequel palooza over there. But we know now that they didn't just do sequels. They also had some pretty great successes. Oh, wait, before I get into successes, sorry. I also just want to mention, I think Melanie mentioned this, that the Planes franchise that also did not need to happen. The like spinoff of the Cars franchise. Cars is so amazing. I know like people have different feelings about Cars, but Cars 1 and Cars 3 are just such great films. And then they're like,
Cars.
Yeah, right? But then they're like, let's do it with airplanes. And nobody asked for that, Disney. So it was just kind of like
the merchandise division asked for that.
Exactly. That's who wanted it. But it was not all bad. Disney Toon Studios definitely made its mark in the hearts of Disney fans with some pretty amazing stories. One of which I've mentioned already is one of my favorite Disney movies of all time, A Goofy Movie, is Disney Toon Studios film. And a lot of people don't realize that. You know now because you're listening to this podcast, but I'm curious how many people like don't know that. They just think it's, you know, regular Disney animation. Because like I said, for years, I had no idea. I didn't know that this division existed. And for that alone, I'm super grateful that Disney Toon Studios existed because y'all, they gave us Powerline. So that is a gift.
That's priceless. That is a
gift. Yes, that is a gift in and of itself. So I forgive all of the sequels to all of the movies that I previously loved, and then you changed their stories and made sequels to them and made spinoffs to them, and I'm just like, eh, but you're forgiven because you gave me Powerline. So thank you, Disney Toon Studios. The Tinkerbell movies were also really successful, the first four anyway, and I know my daughter loved those, and they were really good. They gave us some great Disney-bound options because Tinkerbell has friends now, and they all have cute little personalities and cute little outfits, and they were just really good stories, in my opinion, and really well-made film. So those were also Disney Toon Studios. And I'm super...
I love the Tinkerbell.
I love those movies. Even before I had my daughter Amelia, I loved them, especially the Pirate Fairy and the Great Fairy Rescue. Those two were my favorites.
I love Secret of the Wings. I kind of love that a relationship with Tinkerbell, finding out she had a sister that was kind of like her winter opposite. Mm-hmm. I just thought that was really cute. But yeah, those movies were on repeat in my house for a very long time. And I just love the outfits. I love Tinkerbell's. You know what? They actually made me like Tinkerbell a little bit more.
Me too. Oh, yeah, I always thought she had too much of a temper, but I felt they found that right balance between, yes, she has a short temper, but that's not her whole personality.
Yes, exactly. She still definitely had the temper, which was nice because that's true of her. But then I was like, oh, she can also be a good friend. She can also be a good person. She also has this like sense of adventure. She's not just in love with Peter Pan and jealous of everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I really like that. They were really great. Also, the Winnie the Pooh movies, every single Winnie the Pooh movie, I think, did pretty well. Like, those are considered successes. They were all well received. Also, anytime they did like a Mickey Mouse and Friends movie, which included, was it the Three Musketeers or the Three Musketeers, but with Mickey, Goofy, and Donald?
Yes. Yeah, I can't remember if it's Mouse or Muscle. I could look it up really quick.
Yeah. So, I mean, Winnie the Pooh and like the Mickey Mouse characters, those are like just the classic quintessential Disney. So I don't think you can really go wrong with those. People are going to always love those. Recess, School's Out, is another one of my personal favorites that was also wildly successful. That one was a codex to the Saturday morning cartoon series, and it was really well received. So they've definitely created some hits. In spite of
just letting you know, I did look it up. It is just the Three Musketeers.
Oh, okay, it is the Three Musketeers. Yeah, I love that one. I think it's so cute. So yeah, and even some of the sequels were pretty great. I will say that I really like Lion King 1.5. I thought was adorable. And that did well. Lion King 2 did really well. Siskel and Ebert gave it 2 thumbs up.
Wow. So,
I mean, that's impressive.
There's nothing more 90s than that.
Right? And this is coming from someone who, like, is a hardcore, diehard Lion King fan. So the fact that, like, I can appreciate these sequels even as a Lion King fan, are they as good as The Lion King? Of course not. But that's why they were done by Disney Toon Studios. And, you know, if you kind of just take it for what it is and accept it that way, you can kind of appreciate the sequels a little bit more. Mulan 2 was not well received, but I personally actually really like it. I thought it was a fun story and really cute. We kind of got to see a softer side of Mulan. And yeah, that is kind of just a little taste of, I know I don't want to go too much into each individual movie because I know those might end up on later episodes. Yeah, and there's so many.
Yeah, and it's nice to get your personal recommendations because then I can skip the ones that are terrible. Just watch the good ones.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. And I, you know what? I haven't watched it. I need to because I believe it's on Disney Plus, but Cinderella 3, I believe it's called Cinderella 3, A Twist in Time, but it's kind of if what would have happened, I believe the concept is what would have happened if Cinderella, like if they didn't realize that like the shoe was Cinderella or if it was one of the stepsisters, basically where Cinderella didn't get her happy ending. And so it's kind of like a what if scenario. And what's interesting about it is it's actually a stage show on Disney Cruise Line, at least on the Disney Magic, maybe on other Disney cruises as well, but we watched it on the Disney Magic. They made a stage show. It's not their main one. You know how each of them have a main one that's like Beauty and the Beast or Frozen and Aladdin or Tangled is the fourth main show, but this is one of the ones that they do on one of the nights leading up to the main show. And it's a stage production of Cinderella 3.
I did not know that. That's pretty cool. And I haven't seen that movie either, but I've always been interested in it. I've always been curious, just like the books that kind of tell the villain's story. So it's like the same story, you know, but from a different perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of like what would have happened to Cinderella if the story ended differently or different things happened that prevented her from getting the ending we saw in the original film. And yeah, I just thought it was interesting. They made a stage production and a lot of people really love Cinderella 3. So maybe I'll watch it after we record this.
Yeah. Is it on Disney Plus?
I believe so. I'm pretty sure
it is. Okay, cool.
So now it's time to talk about how did Disney Toon Studios end? It's also kind of rocky, like its beginning. So I just want to say, I remember personally being sad when I found out it was closing officially in 2018. I think some people saw it coming, but in 2018, it officially closed. I remember being sad just because I loved the Tinkerbell movies and I wanted more. And Legend of the Never Beast, the final Tinkerbell movie they made, to be honest, was not my favorite. I loved Pirate Fairy, so I just was hoping for some more or maybe like a definitive ending, something like that. But we didn't get it. And I remember I wish I could remember what their account was, but it was a couple years ago now. But I followed a Disney Toon Studios animator on Instagram, and he was posting kind of like its final days, like before he left. And he was posting like what it looked like around the campus. There's like a little Tinkerbell statue at Disney Toon Studios. And inside the lobby, there was a huge statue of the Never Beast. And he posted a picture in the cast member parking lot that Aww. Was like a promo car for the Pirate Fairy. And so it was just Aww. Cool to see these little
You know, the other
things.
Bummer about the Tinkerbell series ending when it did is that in the Never Beast, it's probably my least favorite also, but in the Never Beast, they introduced, oh no, wait, it wasn't the Never Beast. It was Pirate Fairy when they introduced like Captain Hook and Smee.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. And so I was kind of like waiting. I was like, oh my gosh, we're going to find out how Tinkerbell meets Peter Pan. Like, how does that story end? And I don't know if it was something they were ever going to get to, because inevitably that would mean that Tinkerbell left her friends. Like, because she never, you know what I mean? Like, she ended up with Peter Pan. So that could have been sad. But I was really curious to know if they were going to take us there and find out like where she meets Peter and like how she ends up living with the Lost Boys. And I was just like waiting for that movie. And I was like, it's coming. They introduced Hook and we're going to get it. And then we did not get it. And I was hurt to my core.
Yeah. Well, maybe now I feel like Disney Plus can give us hope for anything.
Yes.
I don't know. Maybe
true.
I hope so.
But as Melanie mentioned, in 2003, they kind of moved a lot of the different divisions to be in Glendale. So, you know, Disney Toon Studios was kind of shrinking down a little bit. Then in 2007, the president of Disney Toon Studios, who had worked with Disney Toon Studios since it made the DuckTales movie, Sharon Morrill was let go of her role and moved into another position with Disney. At this time, when she was let go, even though she still had time left on her contract, Bob Iger had somewhat recently became CEO, and John Lasseter was the chief creative officer, and Ed Catmull was the president of Walt Disney Animation, a man who was the president of Walt Disney Studios, and he's the co-chairman today of Walt Disney Studios, Alan Bergman. He was then moved into Sharon Morrill's role to be president of Disney Toon Studios, with Ed Catmull and John Lasseter overseeing it because they oversaw everything creative for all animation divisions. And apparently, I don't know how true this is, but I read this in a couple articles that John Lasseter and Ed Catmull, I guess, didn't really get along with Sharon Morrill for many, many years. So it's guessed that maybe them not getting along super well contribute to moving her from her role. Other theories is just that a lot of things that were in the works at the time that Bob Iger and John Lasseter and Ed Catmull came in, a lot of the stuff that Disney Toon Studios had in production apparently had a lot of story problems and weren't working, on top of the fact that this new creative team just wasn't a fan of the direct-to-video sequels. And then they watched some of the cuts or saw storyboards and thought there were just too many story problems. And so they scrapped everything they were working on. They were working on a lot of sequels at the time. In 2007, they were working on a Chicken Little sequel. They were working on an Aristocats sequel. There were so many other sequels, but those are the first two that came to my mind, as well as, most notably, a Dumbo sequel. The reason why I say most notably, yes, Dumbo 2. The reason why I say it's most notably is because there were previews that had already come out for it. People already saw it. It was on previews on several VHSs. And they also created bonus content for it with Joe Grant, who was a writer on the original Dumbo. And he was also working on Dumbo 2. And they made this huge, like, behind the scenes bonus thing that they tagged onto some VHSs. Maybe they aired it on TV as well, where they were talking about how we went to the archives and we got old artwork and we were inspired and made Dumbo 2. And a lot of people were just like, whatever happened to Dumbo 2? I saw previews for it and stuff. And then it was because it was during the shift in leadership and when they scrapped a bunch of direct-to-video sequels.
Can I just jump in for a minute with that Dumbo 2 subject?
Yeah.
So I watched that promo as well on YouTube, and they made all of them hold a plush Dumbo, like a big plush Dumbo.
Every one of the creators seriously were holding it.
Oh my goodness.
Talking seriously about the story and all the work that has been going into it, and they're all just like holding a plush Dumbo. I was like, this is weird.
Awkward. I'm also curious about this Chicken Little sequel. And did Chicken Little do well enough to warrant a sequel?
I mean, it must have.
I don't know. Okay, I'll be honest. I haven't seen Chicken Little, so I'm not going to
judge it. I have, because my daughter loves it.
Okay. I haven't seen it either, Erica.
Okay.
So
yeah,
you're not
so
alone.
I can't say that it was
okay,
bad.
Okay, so actually, I will tell you. So I'm looking up right now. It had a budget of $150 million, and it made $314.4 million. So yes, it did
Holy cow. Okay. I will sit back down. Go ahead with your Chicken Little sequel. I see you, Disney.
Okay. So, but however, they scrapped all these because of story problems. They didn't like it. There was one in the works that was praised and was actually, I guess, really good. And it was a Seven Dwarfs spinoff. It was going to be called like the Seven Dwarfs or just Seven Dwarfs, something like that. And it was supposed to be a prequel to explain the dwarf's backstory, particularly about Dopey and why he doesn't talk. And so that was going to be a whole thing, as well as what happened to Snow White's father. And I guess it was actually deemed one of the best things Disney Toon Studios had ever made from the stuff they had worked on, but it got scrapped because it was just too dark. They said, this is too dark. We can't do this. And so that's why it got scrapped, but apparently it was pretty good. So going back to other reasons why Sharon Morrill got laid off and moved into another position. So the Disney Fairies movies, when they were in production, it was just referred to as the Tinkerbell Project. Obviously, we know now that the Tinkerbell movies were a huge success. But when they were in production, I guess it was going insanely over budget. It was getting close to $50 million in cost, and they didn't even have a movie at that point yet. They had 24 different versions of scripts because it kept having to get reworked. The budget was just ballooning, and they were just having so many story problems. So that was kind of another reason why they made a leadership shift there. And so the Tinkerbell Project, as we know now as the Disney Fairies movies, kind of seemed like just the last straw for the sequels that Disney Toon Studios was making. Reason being the budget. You know, the Disney direct-to-VHS, direct-to-DVD sequels, it'd be DVD at this point, the direct-to-DVD sequels were becoming less and less successful. They just weren't making as much money. Don't get me wrong, they were still making money. They were just making less money. And then this huge portion of Disney Toon's budget going to creating the Tinkerbell movies was kind of a last straw of the sequels, on top of the new creative team not liking the sequels. So all of this led to the direct-to-DVD sequels being no more. And the last one was The Little Mermaid 3, Ariel's Beginning in 2008. And then after 2008, as we know, from 2008 to 2015, these were the last of the Disney Toon Studios movies that were released. Between 2008 to 2015, there were 6 Disney Fairy movies and 2 plain movies, as well as 2 Tinkerbell shorts and a plain short. And Tinkerbell, obviously, as we know, was a huge success for Disney Toon. And also, it was a rare success in that not only did it do well financially, it was also received well critically, which wasn't, as we know, super common for the Disney Toon Studios movies. You know, the Tinkerbell movies didn't really get theatrical releases. They sometimes, the later ones, got maybe a limited run in a couple theaters in the US, but they also were in some theaters internationally. But obviously, the main thing was they relied on DVDs and Blu-ray sales for the Disney Fairies movies. Planes, on the other hand, as we know, got like a full theatrical release, both Planes and the second Planes, Fire and Rescue. I'm assuming it's because of what Erica said. They were made because of the Cars movies. Obviously, the Cars movies make a ton of money, so I'm assuming that that's why it just got directly into a theatrical release, because they knew it would make money. Both Planes and Planes, Fire, Rescue, I found out, had a $50 million budget. And the first one made $239.3 million. And the second one made $147 million. So apparently it seems like spending $50 million is the key to success.
Nailed
for
it.
Disney apparently Toon so. Studios. So as we know, the Disney Fairies and Planes franchises both bode really well for Disney Toons. From 2008 to 2015, after that last Little Mermaid sequel was released, that was all that they came out with. And that was what they made their money off of. The couple theatrical releases they had, the DVD and Blu-ray sales. But with the rise of streaming services, the sales did start to dwindle over time. And they were just increasingly struggling to make as much money as they did in their heyday with everything going on streaming services. And, you know, streaming services just means less people are buying movies on DVD or Blu-ray in general. But what really made it come to a final end, obviously, they were struggling for a bit. They only had these 2 franchises. There was actually going to be a 7th Tinkerbell movie, but it got scrapped because of story problems. So at this point in time, they were only working on a 3rd Planes movie. But then in 2017, John Lasseter gave his leave of absence. And as we know, he gave a formal resignation in 2018. And as he oversaw most of that, it was kind of just the last straw of like, okay, we're closing. There's not much they're working on. They didn't have people really overseeing it. So it did officially close in 2018. But I just thought it was interesting that in 2015, that was their last release. Their last release was in 2015, but they didn't close until 2018 because they had been trying to work on a seventh Tinkerbell movie that, as I told you, got scrapped. And then they were working on a third Planes movie that was going to be theatrically released in March of 2019. That was about the future of aviation in outer space.
Wow. Aww.
I don't know what that means.
It could be really great. Or it could be really awful.
Yeah.
Although a space movie does sound a little interesting. I mean, I like space.
I'm always here for a space movie. That could be fun if it was X-Men as well.
I wasn't sure, like, the future of aviation in outer space. I just don't know exactly what that means. So if you know what that means, please email us at cartoonstocastles@gmail.com. I'm curious. So I've read on multiple sources that they decided to make the decision to close the same time John Lasseter made his resignation. So I'm not 100% sure on how those two are connected, but that's what Hollywood Reporter, Variety, Entertainment Weekly, they all say, like, Disney Toon Studios was announced closed upon the resignation of John Lasseter. So for some reason, those two are connected.
I wonder if there was just no one that wanted to, like, I don't know, just kind of fight for it at that point. It was just kind of like, let it go.
And like I said, I think that because they weren't working on the seventh Tinkerbell movie, they only had this one Planes movie on their slate and the sales were just dwindling over time. I think, you know, it was kind of leading towards that direction, even if it wasn't going to be quite meant for this time. I probably would have been after the third Planes movie. Mm-hmm. With the closure, 75 animators got laid off, but apparently most of the animators got to move to Walt Disney Animation Studios. So most got to move over, but there were 75 people laid off. So that was nice to hear. And as we mentioned, Disney Toons was quite the booming business, even though many of the movies weren't received well critically, because people bought videos. I mean, can you guys vouch for this? Did you own a ton of VHSs of these direct-to-sequels?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Right? So now that I'm finished telling you about the closure, I wanted to kind of talk about the VHSs and bring back a little of that childhood nostalgia with these direct-to-VHS sequels. So I have a little treat for you guys. I dug. And I found some of my Disney Toon Studios VHSs.
Oh, my gosh.
And Erica and Melanie can see me. We could see each other on video, but I'll post photos of these on our @CartoonsToCastles Instagram. But let me kind of tell you, I thought it'd be fun to read the backs and to show you what's inside them, because it's quite a throwback.
Yes, please.
So I'm going to start with the Jungle Book 2. I opened each of these VHSs. I have three of them. I opened each of them ahead of time to see which one made the most VHS-y squeaky sound. So let me play. It's Jungle Book 2 is the squeakiest. Okay.
Okay, well, listen.
Oh, man, it's stuck. Oh, no.
They always get stuck.
By far the squeakiest.
I know.
Oh.
Hang on, let me try it.
And
it was so squeaky earlier.
And that's satisfying
pop. Yeah, right? Here, let's do it again. There it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've turned into an ASMR podcast.
Where we'll open VHSs.
We'll just be popping open Disney VHSs from here on out. So.
So this is The Jungle Book 2, which was made in 2003 or released in 2003. On the back it says, an absolute delight from beginning to end. Clay Smith, Access Hollywood. And then another review. Jungle fun. Plenty of humor. Leia Rosin, People Magazine. And then here's the scenario and who starred in it. From Disney's wildly popular The Jungle Book comes a thrilling all-new animated feature film. The jungle is jumping again as Mowgli, Baloo, Bagheera, and the rest of your favorite characters return in the fun-filled musical adventure The Jungle Book 2. It's a work of such charm and imagination, it should enchant children of all ages. Kevin Thomas, Los Angeles Times. Mowgli, played by Haley Joel Osment, has been living in the village among the humans. Erica gasped.
Of course it was Haley Joel Osment.
Yeah. His new life includes his little stepbrother, Rohan. I haven't watched this in so long, so I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. And his best friend, Shanti. But the man cub still has that jungle rhythm in his heart, and he misses his old buddy Baloo, played by John Goodman.
Of course. Who else would it be?
Yeah. When Mowgli wanders back to the wild for some swinging fun, he soon finds Baloo isn't the only one waiting for him. The man-eating tiger Shere Khan is lurking in the shadows and planning his revenge. If he is defeat his nemesis, Mowgli will need the help of both his old friends and his new family. With fresh new renditions of Bare Necessities and I Wanna Be Like You, and a host of original toe-tapping tunes paired with classic Disney animation, The Jungle Book 2 is sure to delight the whole family.
That was so freaking 90s.
And do you want to see what came inside the VHS?
Absolutely. Yeah,
we definitely do.
Well, we have a little booklet. So I forgot that all these VHSs came with all these promo booklets. But the first one, and again, guys, don't worry. I'm going to post photos of all these. I spent so long taking photos of every single one of these little pamphlets in these VHSs. So this says, The Jungle Book 2. Mail this in with just $1 for your free hardcover storybook.
Ooh.
And it has a little form you could fill out and send to a Scholastic P.O. box and get a Jungle Book 2 book for a dollar. There's also a promo to save $3 when you buy 101 Dalmatians 2 Patches London Adventure. It says the Dalmatians are back and better than ever.
Are they better than ever?
I have sad news, though, you guys. I was like, save $3 on this. It's a DVD, actually, that they're showing me, not a VHS. But it expired September 30th, 2003.
Aw, man. Too bad.
And they also have a promo for all new on Disney DVD and video, August 26th, Disney Stitch. Stitch was Experiment 626. But whatever happened to the other 625?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Okay, but the Lilo and Stitch sequels?
No, I do love those. They were good. I just loved that tagline. I thought that was great. Now, this is the most 90s little pamphlet in The Jungle Book 2. I don't even know what this is. I'm curious if anyone has heard it. If you're listening and you've heard about what I'm about to talk about, please email us or shoot us a message on Instagram, because I'd love to know if you ever tried this. Disney on MSN. Introducing Disney on MSN. Everything your family loves about Disney together with MSN8, the latest Microsoft technology. And it seems like it's a service that's $21.95 a month. But your first month is free, of course. And it separates start pages for adults and kids. It has parental controls, tools that make switching to Disney on MSN simple, free subscription to Disney's Blast, the number one online club for kids. And then the other side has a picture of Mickey's hand. It's just his hand. And it says, four great reasons to connect to Disney on MSN internet service. And each finger has a reason why you should connect to Disney on MSN. One is it makes the internet fun and easy. The first month is free. Free Disney's Blast games and learning tools for kids and smart parental controls. So I don't know what Disney on MSN is. I never heard of that. But it felt very 90s, even though, well, I guess early 2000s, 2003. So the next one is the VHS that kind of started the main success of VHS sales for Disney Toon Studios, Return of Jafar. This VHS is a little off-white. It has no pamphlets inside. I'm sure they did at one point, but they're missing now. Should I read the back of this one too?
I mean, yeah, definitely. That
one. Sure. Iconic. Let's read it. Yeah. It's iconic. An all-new adventure with your favorite characters from Aladdin. Journey back to the enchanting city of Agrabah and rejoin all the popular characters from the original box office smash, Aladdin, Jasmine, Genie, Abu, Carpet, and Iago. Disney's epic adventure continues when the evil Jafar escapes from the magic lamp as an all-powerful genie, ready to plot his revenge against Aladdin. From battling elusive villains atop winged horses to dodging flames inside an exploding lava pit, it's up to Aladdin, with Princess Jasmine and the outrageously funny genie by his side, to save the kingdom once and for all. Featuring five new show-stopping songs, The Return of Jafar is filled with endless excitement, humor, and romance, promising a whole new world of entertainment for your family, with Genie voiced by Dan Castellaneta.
We are doing another pivot with our podcast, and we are now a podcast where Jessica reads the back of VHS copies of Disney movies.
I am here for that. That should just be a segment that you do regularly, because this is so entertaining. Oh, is Scott Wagner the voice of Aladdin in that one, or did they get someone else?
He is. It's pretty much all okay. Every original person except for the genie.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So I saved the best for last. I say it's the best. Return of Jafar, I have to say, is probably my favorite VHS sequel. But I say this is the best in terms of the goodies inside. It is Disney's Beauty and the Beast, The Enchanted Christmas.
Yay.
And you guys, there's so much stuff inside.
Well, it is Christmas. So
the reason why there's so much stuff inside, this seems like it was a special like holiday pamphlet. You know, holidays, everyone's like doing their promos. I actually am super curious to hear like these brands who do promotion inside the VHSs. I wonder how much you had to pay to get a slot inside a VHS to advertise.
Oh, yeah.
Just an interesting thought. So the reason why there's a lot in this is this is a little booklet. It's a booklet that says, look inside and be our guest to valuable savings and enchanting offers from Disney. And so it's a booklet. And you open it up and there are a ton of pamphlets. I don't know how best to describe this other than it's like when you get those coupon books sent to your house. Like you didn't order them. They just arrived at your house and you open up an envelope and there's a ton of coupons for local businesses. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I used to love those.
Exactly. Look at all these. Look at all of these. There are so many. And you guys, I took pictures of every single one so you could see them in their full glory on our Instagram. But I'll just...
Now, Jess, just one moment. Can you just ruffle the papers a little bit for our ASMR crowd? Like, just give it a little ruffle. Yeah, that's lovely.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, that's nice.
So many coupons. Okay. So I'm not going to read every single wording on these because there's too many and I don't want to keep you guys here all day, although I'm sure we would love to just read old 90s ads, but I'm just going to briefly go over them. So one is save $2 on any one Disney's Dancing Princess doll collection. And they're very 90s and very neon. And I'm pretty sure I had the Belle version of this, but the options are Aurora, Snow White, Pocahontas, Jasmine, Cinderella, and Belle. We have Disney's Storybook Ornament Collection. You can mail in to order an ornament. And the latest Storybook Ornament Collection you can order is Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, which is only $28 plus $4.95 shipping and handling.
So expensive.
I don't know if you guys could see it. The Snow White ornament that they're offering looks very off model.
Just barely.
Yeah.
The video's breaking up a little bit.
I'll have to send it to you guys after and I'll post it on Instagram because it was wild. We also have the option. It expired in 1998, though, so don't get your hopes up. You could save $3 on any one Disney Stories collection doll. And it's a very 80s version of Belle with very, very poofy hair. I mean, I know she was in the 90s, but they made it look very 80s with how her hair is and how neon her outfit is.
And I wonder how much these items are going for on eBay right now.
I am going to look immediately after this. That'll be some content for Instagram stories. We have an ad for Belle's Magical World coming to video on February 10th. We have an ad for Disney Cruise Line. Only $500 per person. It also expired in 98. And we also have an official, it says on top, official mail-in certificate. Save $5 when you buy any two VHSs.
Wow.
This is something that really jogged a memory. It's a sticker. And I was like, wow, I remember this and forgot. It is a sticker of Beauty and the Beast, The Enchanted Christmas. And it says, save this collector stamp to earn free Disney videos. And you collected the stickers. And like once you got a certain amount of stickers, you can mail them in to prove that you purchased them. You know?
Okay, that's fun. I remember those.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? I was like, this unlocked a memory I didn't even know I had. This is also very 90s. If you purchase Beauty and the Beast, The Enchanted Christmas, which obviously we did because we're looking through these right now, we could save $5 on Lever 2000 soap and deodorant.
What? Well,
oh my goodness.
That's just a practical savings. Wow. Who doesn't need that?
Family entertainment and necessities. And soap. Great.
Is Lieber 2000 even still around?
I don't think so.
Do they
so.
Still sell it?
I don't think so. But I remember I would always, you know, you'd get it free at school in like health class or something. And I remember getting so excited if we got it for free at school. So you could save $10. The next ad is you could save $10 when you buy any two Disney Interactive CD-ROMs. Ooh. And they're computer games. Hercules computer game, Ready for Math with Pooh. Genie's Math Quest.
It's truly the gift that keeps on giving.
Oh, yeah. And then
so many coupons.
The last coupon is when you buy any two Ocean Spray juices, you can get a Beauty and the Beast, the Enchanted Christmas, one of four snow domes, aka a snow globe, but they call it a snow dome.
Ooh.
Oh, I love snow domes, aka snow globes.
And the last one to wrap up this journey of nostalgia is a Disney video shopping guide just in time for the holidays.
Of course.
And it's a sneak peek of upcoming Disney videos. That's great for the whole family. We have an epic comedy of legendary proportions that will soon be making history on video. It's
what?
Hercules.
Who but the Gladding Gladiator?
Hercules. It says here, there's so much energy in this ad. It says powering onto video in 1998.
I mean, Hercules deserves no less.
No less. And watch out, the new King of Swing is heading your way. Disney's George of the Jungle.
Oh, my goodness, George of the Jungle. I forget that exists sometimes.
And then Neverland never looked better. The 45th limited edition fully restored Peter Pan. Uh-huh. I love the taglines. They're so great.
Yeah.
And then the also timeless remastered masterpiece limited edition Dumbo, which is landing on video in 1998.
These writers, they all got raises.
I wish I could go back in time and be a copywriter for pamphlets inside Disney VHSs.
That's a very specific job.
And then we kind of end it, and then we kind of end the Disney video holiday shopping guide on a sad note with one of Disney's most beloved classics, Old Yeller.
Oh.
I can't watch Old Yeller.
No.
I can't watch it.
That was a watch once, know it exists, and never look at it
again. Never again.
And they do remind you, any of these videos that we advertise in this pamphlet, stamps are included, the collector stamps.
Oh.
So, guys, I hope you enjoyed that. I almost told you ahead of time before we recorded, I was going to text you and be like, oh, my gosh, I found VHSs. I'm going to read them. But I was like, I want it to be a surprise.
That was super fun.
Surprise. Yeah. I love that.
So, yeah, thank you guys so much for joining us on the wild and wacky and very 90s journey of Disney Toon Studios.
What a ride. What a ride.
It was such a ride.
I'm sorry, what an attraction.
What an attraction.
They're not rides, they're attractions.
What an attraction. And please, guys, let's make it a new thing. Whenever a new Disney movie is coming on Disney Plus or on video, let's come up with a tagline of like, it's blasting onto Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Like, let's come up with a specific theme line.
Let's be our own VHS copywriters.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. Well, thank you guys.
If we don't, who will?
Yeah.
Definitely. We have to bring it back. We have to bring it back. Well, thank you so much, Erica, for joining us on our first episode with a guest. I hope you had fun. It was so fun reminiscing and being nostalgic with you.
So much fun. Thank you guys for having me.
Oh,
thank
my gosh. You. Please come back anytime. And why don't you let us know where we can find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Erica Enchanted. That's Erica with a K, by the way. And I'm on Twitter at Erica Enchanted with an underscore at the end. And my blog is castlecravings.com.
Awesome.
And Jess, can you tell them where they can find our socials for the podcast?
Yeah, definitely. So you could go ahead and follow us at Cartoons to Castles on Instagram. And on Twitter, we're just Cartoons Castles. And also, you can find all of the streaming services we're available on cartoonstocastles.com.
Yeah, and where can they find you personally?
Oh, if you want to find me personally and see the Disney Bound I'm going to put together theme to this episode, you can follow me at The Healthy Mouse on Instagram and Healthy underscore Mouse on Twitter. And thehealthymouse.com. And Melanie, where can we find you?
Yeah, I am Keep Quirky on Instagram and Keep Quirky OC on Twitter.
Thanks for listening.
Till next time, keep dreaming.